Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS, where Ian is very good at finding one-hit wonder bands. And now for $1,000, Dan Strauss, who did this song?
I can't think of who it is.
You owe me $1,000.
Colin, pay the man.
Okay.
Thunderclap Newman.
Wow!
And here's what you don't know. The song was written by Pete Townsend, who plays bass on it.
Wow.
Thank you. Welcome back to KC Classics.
Man.
I saw somebody posted a picture of an album they picked up at like a thrift store. And they were going, what a great score this is. It was The Peanut Butter Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name of the band.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bunch of those food names in the.
I saw them open 60s. For Moby Grape and Strawberry Alarm Clock.
And then they all got up and jammed.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
And they gelled. And they jammed.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. That's Dan Strauss. That's Ian Geist. That's Colin Jeffrey. And this is the showbiz segment of our show. Colin, there are four movies opening up in St. Louis today. I have seen none of them. Have you seen any?
I've seen one of them.
Okay. Let's run down the list of movies, because I know you've seen the Andy Samberg movie, which we'll get to in a moment. But first, let's mention the other ones, and maybe you can give a brief synopsis of what they're about. One is called Dark Horse, which, speaking of classic rock history, was once a George Harrison song and the name of his record album, record label. But now back to you. What is Dark Horse about?
I know very little about this other than it's based on a true story.
Okay.
Group of friends. I really don't know much about it. It's not. It might be opening in a couple theaters.
Let me guess.
St. Louis.
A group of people who are underdogs in life find a horse that is also an underdog in life, and yet they train this horse to be able to run against the thoroughbreds. And nobody else believes in them, and nobody believes in the horse.
I think you got it exactly right.
Well, that has to be the plot.
It's based on a race. Yeah, they have a racehorse. They breed a champion racehorse.
It does become a champion. Of course it does. It has to have a happy
ending.
It's
an inspirational story.
You don't make this movie if the horse doesn't win the race at the end. And at the end, the horse finished last and was killed and turned into glue.
Glue, yes.
No, that's not a movie.
Is that a true story?
Yes, it is.
It's a true story.
Okay, another one that's opening is called Me Before You.
It's got Amelia Clark.
I could never remember that rule. I knew I before E, but I could never remember before Me you. Before You.
Small town romance. Amelia Clark is
from Game of Thrones.
From Game of Thrones, Daenerys Targaryen. Wow, that's just, yeah. If you know her full name from Game of Thrones, this is not the movie for you this weekend.
Really?
Yes. This is a romantic romance. Amelia Clark. Daenerys Targaryen is her name from...
Wow.
You knew that, Dan. Daenerys Targaryen.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
The Mother of Dragons. And then we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which last year, 2 years ago, I did not particularly like the first one. And all they've done this time is added Casey Jones.
Now, when I saw this was on the list, I could have sworn we just talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles a month ago. Because I remember asking you, what was the story with them? What was their power? What did they do?
They're ninjas and turtles.
And they eat pizza and they say cowabunga.
You got it?
And they got...
Well, you see, they were regular turtles, and then they fell into some radioactive goo in the sewers.
Yeah.
And then Splinter, their giant...
Splinter.
Rat...
not Splinter.
Sensei.
Splinter.
Sensei. What?
Yeah. Splinter.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Oh, I thought you said Splinter.
No. I did, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the second one. Now we've got Bebop and Rocksteady. They're here.
Who's Bebop and Rocksteady?
One is a rhinoceros.
Rhinoceros,
right?
Yeah.
It's a new morning show at KC.
Bebop and Rocksteady and Krang and Dimension X may play into this. I don't know.
Did they battle Shredder in the first one?
Did you, Dan, go into his DJ voice? I'm the only one who didn't miss that. I got it, Dan.
Thanks.
I was right there with you. So this one, we don't know anything about it, but if you're over 13, you're not going to go see the movie anyway.
Unless you're a huge, or unless you have a 13-year-old, then you may get dragged into this one.
Okay. The one you saw is Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, a movie you and I discussed. Who's going to go see it? And I said, it's all yours, because I don't think Andy Samberg is funny. I watched one episode of that Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That show's not funny. The stuff he's done on Saturday Night Live with Lonely Island. I like the first thing they did, Dick in a Box. That was pretty funny. But the other stuff they did, you know, it's just...
Was that him? That was him.
Lonely Island.
And
yes.
Justin him Timberlake. And Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but it was written and everything by... Lonely Island. They, yeah, they
by
did
Sandberg
the
and his cohorts. And that's the
Jorma Taccone and Akiva Schaffer.
And they're the ones who are in this movie with him, right?
Yes. And Jorma and Akiva directed it. So you've got guys who have typically done like digital shorts and things that are shorter directing a feature length comedy.
Let me just stop you for a second. If you really want to see something amusing, how long ago was Dick in a Box on Saturday Night Live? Was that 10 years ago? More?
No, I don't know.
Probably,
more.
I don't think. Maybe right around that.
5 or 6, maybe?
Okay. If you want to see something, if you want to see something clever, go on YouTube. There's a woman, very attractive young woman, who did a response video to it called Box in a Box. It's really, really, really
2006?
Funny. Yeah.
Wow, 10 years?
10 years ago.
Wow.
So go find that one on YouTube and enjoy yourself
box
for a few minutes.
Box.
Yeah. So, okay, so they have this movie, Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
And it's sort of a send-up of the Justin Bieber and Katy Perry, all these pop star movies where it's let's look at their, not necessarily rise to fame, but let's see what they're doing on tour. I'm going to say this for a frame of reference. If you've seen This Is Spinal Tap, you get the structure of this. Mm-hmm. It's really set up as sort of a mockumentary. We are examining what has happened to Andy Samberg, who plays Connor, and broke out with his friends, the rest of Lonely Island, as a group called Style Boys with a Z. And they were sort of a pop boy band, and they sang bubblegum songs.
Like a New Direction and sing Backstreet
One
Boys.
Direction.
Yeah.
Did
I say New Direction?
You said New Direction.
I meant One Direction.
New Kids on the Block, One Direction, it's all the same.
Yeah.
That's where this movie, that's his start in showbiz. It's not necessarily where the movie starts. This movie talks about the fact that he is now releasing his second solo album. The first one was enormous, just outrageously huge hits, and it had one song on it, and this was the popular song called Humble. Watch out! Watch out!
Bar none, I am the most humble list. Number one at the top of the humble list. My apple crumble is by far the most humble list. But I act like it tastes bad at humbleness.
That is some clever writing right there.
That's the point. They're sending up these pop songs.
I think maybe we should edit it and maybe work on a second draft. No, that was perfect. I wrote it in the bathroom, and that's the way it's going to be.
It's pop music. That's exactly what pop music is. And they're saying, let's strip away any semblance of artistic integrity, and we're going to make this as ridiculous as they can.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his hit song from the first one. This is now his second album, and he's allowing a camera crew to follow him along because he broke all sorts of records with the first one.
Okay.
Well, the second album does not sell particularly well.
Okay.
But he insisted on writing every song on it. So the songs become, we'll say, a bit more simple still and a bit more crude. This is one of the songs you actually see performed at a concert.
When she started talking, she said, "We like we've been lying." Ooh, oh.
So here we
girl
go.
Was a freak. She said she wanted to f- her harder than the military.
Is the song beeped in the movie?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. This is a hard R. Like, this movie is. Do not take a 13-year-old to this movie.
Okay.
I don't care how cool you think. Do not take a 13-year-old. I don't think this is.
Yeah, let them stay home and torrent it.
Yes, exactly.
Which they will.
So his album is not well received, and we see this is taking quite the toll on him. And the rest of the movie really becomes, should he get back together with his original band? He doesn't want to. He's kind of delusional, thinking this will work out for me. One of his previous bandmates is still on the tour with him. He's still in his band, but it's like a backup guy. And it's him struggling with, how do I make money? The business of it. At one point, he signs a deal with an appliance company so that every time you open your fridge, one of his songs plays. Every time you open, you know, every time you pop down the toaster, his song comes out of the toaster, mm-hmm. and it's all done wirelessly. And it spoofs that pretty well. Tim Meadows plays his manager, who himself is a frustrated failed musician from Tony.
Well, that's two laughs you got out of me here in the review, I got to tell you.
And Maya Rudolph plays Deborah, from the name Deborah,
mm-hmm.
and she plays this person at the appliance company. It is just about everyone who's ever been involved in SNL makes an appearance. This has 164 people credited.
Wow.
And that's because they get... We talked about Entourage last year having a lot of
cameos. Yeah.
I'm just going to read you a few of them. Questlove, if you know.
From Jimmy Fallon's show. Mm-hmm. He's leader of the Roots.
Carrie Underwood, Nas, Usher, 50 Cent, Simon Cowell, Ringo Starr, Adam Levine, Akon, Mariah Carey, Big Boy, DJ Khaled, ASAP Rocky, Mario Lopez.
Wait a second. They got ASAP Rocky. Wow.
Will Arnett.
Spare no expense. Jenkins, bring more money in here. We're getting ASAP Rocky.
Yo, they've got all these people. Get over there really fast.
That's what we call you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sly.
But yes, yeah, so this is, it has all these real artists sort of lending credence to the idea this guy was a genius. He was the biggest thing. And, mm-hmm. and sort of going over his rise and fall.
Was this exec produced by Lorne Michaels?
I actually don't know that. I wouldn't be shocked if it was, just because of...
It must be his name that carries the weight that allows these guys to get all those other people to do those cameos.
No, he's
even
not.
Even if he's not listed on there, I guarantee
you. Judd Apatow is a big producer.
Okay.
He's the one that gets all
that's the equivalent.
He was a producer.
Okay.
This movie I went into with low expectations, and here's why. Superstar, Ladies Man, Night at the Roxbury. These were all SNL sketches that got turned into movies that were awful.
Oh, the word you're looking for is sucks.
Yes. This is essentially an SNL sketch. These guys wrote the digital shorts. They wrote some of the songs, but that's what they did.
It lasted 3 or 4 minutes. This is probably 100 minutes.
This is 88 minutes. It's the perfect length.
Okay.
For a throwaway summer comedy. I was very nervous about this and went with low expectations. I was much more, there were many things, more things that made me happy in this than disappointed. I was pleasantly surprised by this. It's been a down year for comedies overall. The Boss with, Yeah. This was surprisingly funny, and it had subtlety to it. They have a Will Arnett. You're going to love his character in it if you're at all familiar with sort of celebrity gossip stuff. There's a Yelp review that pops up on screen very briefly that is funny. There's these subtle things, and then there's full frontal male nudity. Like, these are not typically...
Why do we need that?
It fits. It works. Just trust me. It's funny.
All right.
And the reason it works is because it's not just a shot. It's a long time that this is on screen.
Okay.
And it makes it funny because it's odd and not what you're expecting, and... It has moments that are going to make you laugh. I wish it was a bit funnier. There's a couple sections that drag. It might be 5 or 6 minutes without like a real attempt at a joke.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned this is Spinal Tap,
mm-hmm.
which is forever going to be number one at the top of the mockumentary mountain.
Yes.
It's the one that started the whole thing and is still the best.
Yes.
Everything that has come since has paled in comparison. In This is Spinal Tap, Rob Reiner, Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, Harry Shearer, they all act completely seriously. Even though they're doing stupid stuff in the course of the movie, they act like they are their characters, and they're not in a comedy.
Right.
Which is what makes good comedy work, not acting like you're in a comedy, playing it completely straight.
Mm-hmm.
Do these guys have that same capacity, or is there a kind of a wink at the audience where we know we're making fun of things?
95% of the time, it's straight. It's as if he is Justin Bieber. Sort of think of that. He takes his stuff amazingly seriously and thinks that he is a great artist and he deserves all this fame. Mm-hmm. And it actually holds up pretty well under that scrutiny. It's not as fun. I mean, the mockumentary, I don't think anything will ever be as funny as that. But it has sort of, I'm just saying from a structure standpoint, it's going on tour with them and seeing their trials. And it was them realizing in Spinal Tap, we are not the Spinal Tap that we thought we were. And it's the effect on the band. And this is essentially, I'm not the Connor. He changes his name from Connor to Connor for real with the number 4. I'm not the Connor for real I thought I was. And It's perfectly fine. If you are a huge Lonely Island fan, you will appreciate the last cameo that I'm not going to spoil. Mm-hmm. But it's someone you would be familiar with from their work, and that's the last cameo. All in all, I was pleasantly surprised.
What do you get on a scale of 10?
Laughed. I give it a 6 out of 10.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to give it more, considering how you've been talking about it.
No, and it's because those moments when there are lulls, there's also nothing that's going to make you fall out of your chair laughing. It's a bunch of good laughs, but there's not that one crazy laugh. Okay. I will say it probably helped that there was a guy in the theater that had one of the all-time great movie theater laughs I have ever heard, and it was so loud, I think everyone laughed at him at one point because he laughed at something that wasn't, there wasn't a joke there. He just laughed and everyone was just, he's got a great laugh.
Okay.
I would say it's worth checking out this weekend though.
Pop star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, starring Andy Samberg, 6 out of 10.
And it is crude. Crude, gross, male nudity. Those things are not on your list. This is not the movie for you.
Okay. You mentioned Maya Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
Who, when she was on Saturday Night Live, I thought was one of the more talented women to appear on that show. She did all sorts of great impressions. She's funny. You could tell she had great improvising skills, great timing. Last year, NBC gave her an hour of primetime network TV in the Maya Rudolph show, which was exec produced by Lorne Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
And they let her try to, I guess, revive the idea of a variety show on TV, where she'd be in sketches, she'd do some singing, she'd have some guest stars, etc. It bombed last year. So this week, she's back, not with another Maya Rudolph show, but Maya and Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Marty being Martin Short, who Ian is a huge fan of.
Absolutely. I'm a fan of both of those two.
I am too, and I appreciate both of their talents, and when you come to improvisation, these are the two people you want. You could throw them into any situation, and they would fit right in and act like they were part of that situation. You could tell that they both have that Second City groundlings improvising behind them. Did you see the show this week?
I did not.
Good.
I read your review, though.
Oh, I tried to.
Yeah, Frank talked about it. He did not like it either.
It was very, very disappointing. Again, because both of these people are very talented. Now, that being said, I'm not sure the idea of reviving the primetime variety show is such a good idea in the first place. The heyday of primetime variety shows was when you had people like Donnie and Marie and Sonny and Cher and people like that who were hosting it mostly in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, you had sketch comedy shows in primetime like the Carol Burnett Show, but that was, again, in the 70s. There really hasn't been anything good that's fit into that category since then. And I'm not sure you need something like that in a world where you have six late night shows that essentially do comedy, do sketches, have guests on, some people sing, etc. I mean, what are you going to get from Maya Rudolph and Marty Short, other than their talent, that's going to be different from what you're going to get from Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, etc., etc., etc.? They're all essentially doing that same thing, particularly the shows that rely on sketches as part of what they're doing in late night. And I also don't think that you found the right pairing in Maya and Marty. As good as I think they both are, and I'm a fan like Ian is, of both of them, I just don't think that they're the right ones to do that kind of a show, because when Sonny and Cher hosted a show, it was campy.
Mm-hmm.
When Donnie and Marie hosted a show, it was campy. You know, I mean, that was the days of roller boogie sketches on TV. Nowadays, I watched this Maya and Marty show. It was like the last half hour of any Saturday Night Live in the last 10 years. You know, that last half hour with the sketches that really shouldn't be on TV, but we have to fill another half hour, so go ahead and put them on. That's how bad this show was. Very, very disappointing. I hope they can find more things for them to do. I have a feeling, I think the show's on for 4 weeks. There's going to be another one next week and the week after and the week after that. I have a feeling it's not going to go much past that.
Mm-mm.
I hope they can find better things for Maya Rudolph to do. She was also in the Amy Poehler, Tina Fey movie Sisters, and that wasn't right for her either.
Oh, she was in Bridesmaids?
Yep.
She's very funny, and it's just disappointing that it seems more difficult for her than it should be. She was in a show with Christina Applegate a few years back on NBC where she played a talk show.
Oh, host, yeah. Christina Applegate worked behind the scenes on an Oprah-like show.
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't work either.
No.
And I don't know why, because she's a very talented woman, but it's very difficult to find the right vehicle for these people. And I remember some of the other women who came out of Saturday Night Live who also had trouble when they had left the show. You know, Gilda Radner didn't have any post-SNL success. Lorraine Newman from that original batch. Remember Jan Hooks, who was on there in the Phil Hartman, Dana Carvey years? Those guys went on to have big careers. Jan Hooks, who just died a few years ago, she disappeared from the face of the earth. So did many of the other women on there. I think Tina and Amy are probably, maybe Kristen Wiig, who's in the new Ghostbusters movie summer.
Molly Shannon is...
Molly Shannon do?
She's had bit parts. Like, that's what she was on SNL, though. She was never the lead, really. She was a bit part player, and that's what she's continued to do. I think she's actually in this pop star.
But none of them have really gone on to post-SNL success like those three women that I just mentioned, and I was hoping that Maya Rudolph would be one of them, but it seems like now, after success or failure after failure, she's not going to find it. Meanwhile, Martin Short, he'll just go back to doing tours with Steve Martin and appearing. You saw him at Lindenwood, right?
Yes. Yeah, a few years ago, yeah.
And movies and that sort of stuff. You don't have to worry about him. He's had a long career going all the way back to SCTV, and he'll continue to get lots of work, but that's a variety show concept. This may put the final nail in the coffin.
I think he'll probably just live off Father of the Bride royalties for
his Frog.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, the variety show concept, let's just consider that one dead and gone now, and you got a better chance of bringing back Westerns. A story out this week about Johnny Depp. Probably top 10 male movie star in the world.
Yeah, sure, we'll say that.
Well, let's see if he stays that way after the allegations against him by Amber Heard, who is girlfriend or wife?
Wife.
Soon to be ex-wife, I think.
Yeah. Yes, I think she served him with papers.
Because she says he beat her.
Yes.
Not on one occasion, but on multiple occasions.
Hit her face with an iPhone most recently, yeah.
Yeah. When you hear stories like that, does it have any effect on what you think of somebody who you may have enjoyed their work? Now, I was never a fan of some of Johnny Depp's stuff, but I liked his work in Donnie Brasco and Edward Scissorhands and some of that stuff.
Benny and June.
A lot of people know him from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. But I went online today and I looked up a list of famous male celebrities who have been charged with domestic violence at some point. And of course, at the top of the list, you got to put Bill Cosby. And there's no denying that Bill Cosby's career has been ended by the charges that have been placed against him by, at last count, close to 5 dozen women. I think the general consensus is this guy's a scumbag who is assaulting women by drugging them and then having sex with them against their will.
Allegedly. I have to say the allegedly part.
I know you do, and my lawyer's listening. He wishes I had said it, but I didn't. So the question is, when you have somebody like a Johnny Depp, who's not up at the level of a Bill Cosby, how far do they have to go into the category of men who hit women before you say, I can't watch or listen to what they do before? So here are some of the people who are on the list. Sean Penn spent 33 days in jail in 1987 for assaulting a photographer and was arrested and charged with felony domestic assault after beating Madonna. The story is he tortured her for 9 hours, tying her to a chair, threatening to cut off her hair, forcing her to perform degrading sexual acts, and beat her with a baseball bat. How can you ever watch a Sean Penn movie again?
He won an Oscar after that.
For Dead Man Walking.
And for Milk. Guy won Oscars after this alleged incident.
How can you ever laugh at him in Fast Times at Ridgemont High as Sean Spicoli ever again? The same thing goes on in the music world. You know, you had Chris Brown, who brutally attacked Rihanna and still seems to have a career. Eminem was charged with horrible things, attacking his ex-wife, Kim. His career has been on the wane lately. But I'll give you another one who fits up there, maybe not as close to Bill Cosby as you might think, but in my book, on the same page, and that is Mike Tyson. Here's a guy who went to prison for 3 years for raping a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to see The Hangover, when it came out several years ago, I enjoyed the movie, but as soon as Mike Tyson came on screen, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up a little bit. Like, I don't want to be laughing at this guy. I don't find anything amusing about this guy. I don't want to see this guy's one-man show. He's a rapist.
Yeah.
Some of the most horrible, violent crime you can commit, other than murder. And the list goes on and on. Michael Fassbender, who was given some praise last year for the movie Jobs. You and I didn't like the movie. But his ex claimed that he threw her over a chair, broke her nose, dragged her alongside her car, and caused her to twist her left ankle and blow out her kneecap, $20,000 worth of medical expenses, and a restraining order.
Wow.
Can you watch Michael Fassbender in a movie again?
I don't know. That changes it a bit. I didn't know most of these, so... Yeah.
My wife stopped liking Sean Connery, something like 30 years ago when he did an interview with Barbara Walters in which she asked him about an interview he had done with Playboy magazine in 1965 in which he said, quote, "I don't think there's anything particularly wrong about hitting a woman, although I don't recommend doing it in the same way that you hit a man. An open-handed slap is justified if all other alternatives fail and there's been plenty of warning. If a woman is a bitch or hysterical or bloody-minded continually, then I would do it." And so Barbara Walters asked him, "Have you changed your mind in the last 20 years?" This is in 1985. He said, "No, I haven't changed my mind, not at all. I don't think it's bad. I think it depends entirely on the merits, and if it merits it, well, there you go. I think it's absolutely right." That's Sean Connery, one of the most respected actors of the last 50 years, and people will still always think of him as the ultimate James Bond and enjoyed him in... Lost Crusade, the Indiana Jones movie, and lots of other things. You know, Tommy Lee. He was in Motley Crue, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He was charged with beating up Pamela Anderson, leaving her badly bruised. Sentenced to 180 days in jail for felony spousal abuse in 1998. Did that kill Motley Crue? No, time killed Motley Crue.
Yeah. Yeah.
They stopped making decent music.
A lot of other reasons.
But people stopped watching them. Bill Murray was accused by his ex-wife Jennifer of ongoing domestic violence during their marriage. She claimed that he once told her she was lucky he didn't kill her. That's Bill Murray.
Thanks for killing Caddyshack.
Comedy icon Bill Murray. Charlie Sheen pleaded guilty to attacking ex-wife Brooke Mueller.
Oh, yeah. This was during the Tiger Blood days. Well, no, I guess it was even before that.
That led to him eventually losing the job on Two and a Half Men. Dr. Dre, former member of NWA, the guy who sold his company Beats to Apple for $3 billion, has been forced to address his violence against women, including beating up a music journalist named Dee Barnes in 1992 and allegedly physically abusing his fiancée Michelle during their six-year relationship, not stopping anybody from buying Beats headphones.
Mm-mm.
So my question is, do we even care about this stuff? I don't think that the Johnny Depp news this week is going to make... a large number of people anyway.
Well, let's compare
seeing Johnny Depp movies.
Let's compare it to what's happened in the NFL. The players that have hit their kids, Adrian Peterson. Why can't I think of the guy that hit his wife in the elevator?
Ray Rice.
I mean, these guys, it's teams are staying away from them.
But
it's a crazy fallout for that. And here you're talking about people who won the highest award possible in their career.
Yes.
After beating a woman.
Yep.
There seems to be a bit of a... I'm not going to say double standard. I guess it is. It's just a double standard.
Does it affect you?
I don't know. I'm going to have to let this sit, I think, because I didn't know.
I will admit to you, this changed my mind a little bit about Bill Murray. The others, I'm not really a big fan of. I like Sean Connery a lot, but the others I wasn't enough of a fan of to go, oh, well, that's it for me. I was never in Eminem's corner or Mike Tyson's corner or Sean Penn's corner to begin with. So it wasn't like, you know, oh, I really like them.
Yeah, no, I guess I didn't think about Mike Tyson beforehand. No, I haven't liked him pretty much ever.
I mean, Bill Murray, the thing I have against him is his movies have sucked for several years.
Yeah. No, yeah, I don't know. That might be the one, too. I think you're right there. That's a... I didn't know that. Thanks, Paul. You just...
Well...
Hey, happy weekend, Colin. Well, Let me destroy Bill Murray for you.
That raises another question. Why didn't you know that? Why didn't we know? You and I both didn't know that until I found this story here today. I think most people don't know these sort of things. They get a little bit of press. TMZ goes crazy over them for a week or two. I guarantee you, by Labor Day, the Johnny Depp story's over.
Oh, yeah. I'd say before that, but yeah.
Labor Day, July 4th, it'll be over.
Yeah.
And when his next movie comes out. Now, I mention this because this week I posted a story on my website, harrisonline.com, about Woody Allen, who for many people, he would fit into the same category because there were charges against him from decades ago from his then 4-year-old daughter, who said that he touched her in a sexual way when she was 4 years old. She made the claims years later. And that was at a time when he and Mia Farrow had a big falling out, mostly because Woody married
his other daughter.
Yeah. Well, she was not his daughter.
Yes, I know.
Soon Yi. And there were a lot of people who said, well, that's it. I can't watch Woody Allen movies. You know, if they liked Woody Allen before, as I do, they gave up on him after. To me, there's a difference between that was a charge that was investigated by the authorities who found that nothing untoward had actually happened, that it was more likely a story about people in a custody battle over a young woman and an ugly relationship hassle between the adults that didn't bear fruit in the claim that he had done anything wrong with a little girl. So because of that, because there's no proof of what he did, I don't believe it. In the case of a Mike Tyson, the guy went to prison for 3 years. He was convicted of an actual crime.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fall in the same category as me. Bill Cosby, I know, never convicted yet, but there's an overwhelming preponderance of evidence against him.
Yes.
Whereas in Woody Allen's case, he had one claim of something that supposedly happened one time. I think there's a difference there. So I've never discriminated against Woody Allen for that, whereas I do hugely against Bill Cosby, who I was a lifelong fan of.
And here's one who was never convicted of it, but it torpedoed his career. Mel Gibson from leaving voicemails.
Yes.
Shouting. I mean, that destroyed his career. Yeah. Tom Cruise.
And shouting at cops.
Yes. And Tom Cruise, you know, jumping up and down on a couch and having a kooky religion.
Well, oh, yeah, that Going Clear documentary from Alex Gibney a couple years ago really shed light
on who he is. John Travolta being... Yeah, John Travolta. I mean,
Scientologists.
People who have done less than this still have had their careers damaged more so than some of these people who actually hit a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see what happens with Johnny Depp's career going forward and whether Hollywood will continue to embrace him as they
couldn't
have.
Couldn't get worse right now.
For Johnny Depp?
Yeah. He hasn't made a good movie. And I mean, he's eventually going to stop getting work because the movies he's in are bad. Mordecai is all you have to say. Like, if you...
Well...
There you go.
Yeah, that's the last word on that. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
This is the Big 550 KTRS.